Thank you very much for that music. Actually, thank you very much to all our musicians. It's just wonderful to worship God through music in our own song as well as prepared music. Been to the ocean yet? Yes, no, maybe. I was out on the beach walking when we had the eclipse. Went from the rock down to the pier, back to the rock. I don't know, more than a mile. I love walking on the ocean. Throughout my life, I've always lived near the ocean except for 1 year, well, 6 months when we were in transfer to Phoenix. I've always been next to the ocean. I need to be near water. I enjoy water. I enjoy feeling the power of water. I enjoy feeling the essence of water. I see God's power in water, the majesty of God. I just love water. My daughter and I became scuba instructors. We started training, and we just stayed on as teaching assistants, and we became scuba instructors. In Psalm 107, it says, go down to the ocean, go down to the water where the big ships are, and see the wonders of God in the deep. Now, the only way they could do that was to drag up things from the ocean. I figured, let's go down and visit. We would go down and see the wonders that God had in the deep. How many of you remember the old Sea Hunt program? Yeah, Lloyd Bridges, Sea Hunt, scuba diving. I knew I had to be in the water. And I have been all my life. I told my students that I had gills when I was born, but they closed up. Water is important. Have you had your glass of water today? Water is so very important to the human body. A little H2O sounds simple. Two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen. Have you had your water today? The human body is made up of two-thirds water by weight. Forgot to start my... I did that yesterday, Sabbath. Forgot to start my timer. 100% of the body processes require water in your system. The brain is 95% water. Blood is 82% water. The lungs are 90% water. Water is important to you. So, I'm going to set that aside. Did you have your glass of water today? You know, the estimate is you have to have eight-ounce glasses of water. A simple study suggests that 2% drop in body water supply can trigger dehydration. Just 2% drop in your water system. It creates a fuzzy short-term memory, difficulty reading small lettering. Doing basic math can be difficult. 2%, little dehydration. One of the most common causes of daytime fatigue is called mild dehydration, and the estimates suggest that 75% of Americans suffer from mild chronic dehydration. Did you have your water today? We run, we slow down, we have headaches. There's a form of lethargy from lack of water or mild dehydration. The human body cannot function without water. Every cell and every organ in your body functions, and it depends on water. Depends on water. Water lubricates our joints. When we dehydrate, the water is pulled away from your joints. You got achy joints? You're probably dehydrated. Water regulates our body temperature. You know, we sweat. Nobody's sweating here in Oceanside. It's too nice. No, the humidity draws it out of you. And as it draws it out of you, you need to replenish it. It removes toxins from our system. It transports nutrients throughout our bodies. It supports digestion. It helps with clear skin, young people. And it boosts our brain function. Water is important. We need water. We can survive longer with water without food than we can with food without water. That's a kind of a reversal. Water is important. You're here in California. You're visiting California. California is in a desperate need of water. We are in a historic drought. The rivers are drying up. The underground aquifers are being emptied. Governor Brown was standing in the Sierra Mountains giving a press conference, and he said, we should be standing on 6 feet of snow because the runoff helps provide water for California. 33 million people, plus 574, in California. We don't have it. There is voluntary rationing in some parts, and some parts of the state, we have mandatory rationing. I've allowed my front and backyards to disappear. Breaks my heart. But they're now like the hills nearby. They are dead, except for my birch trees. I won't let them die. And my roses. But California is desperate for water. We're looking forward to the El Nino effect of this winter. The potential is to break the back of this drought. But El Nino is also potential no water, but just heat. It's a 50-50 dice throw. Water is important. Water is so important. Have you had your glass of water today? I want to take you back a few centuries. In Rome, 3rd century BC, Rome exceeded its local water sources, and they began building aqueducts. They needed aqueducts to support farms and households and gardens and latrines and mining. They became an engineering marvel. The aqueducts still exist today, and parts of aqueducts are still being used today. They had 470 miles of aqueducts. And I said it was an engineering marvel because they had a slight gradient, because they didn't want the water going so fast it would cause erosion of the system. And millennia later, it's still effective. It's still working. Without the aqueducts, Rome would have great difficulty growing. The main city of Rome grew to be 1 million people. It wouldn't have worked without the aqueducts and the pulling in of water. Water was necessary to grow the empire. Jump forward a little bit. Go to Jerusalem. It's called the Siloam Tunnel or Hezekiah's Tunnel. You'll find this in 2 Kings 20. Built during the time of Hezekiah, there was a source of water that was outside the walls of Jerusalem, and Hezekiah walled that up so that no one could get to it. Sennacherib was coming after to invade, and he walled up the water source and then created a tunnel down to what they called the Pool of Siloam. What's very interesting about this marvelous piece of technology, they started at one side and the other side, and they went to the center. We're talking thousands of years ago. No electronics. But what it did was it prevented Sennacherib and any other invader from having a source of water during a siege, and left all the water inside Jerusalem so that they could survive a siege. Hezekiah's tunnel is 750 feet, and I walked all those feet. It was quite interesting. You had to have a flashlight. You needed a light with you. The water was about knee deep. I don't know what it was like at the time of Hezekiah, but at my time it was knee deep. It was kind of cool, literally, pun intended. Unfortunately for those around me, halfway through I turned around, they asked us to go back, and the people behind me didn't like that. They kept splashing me after that. But it's 1,750 feet and it meanders. And they used natural aquifers and they used natural crevices to make this thing work. Both shoulders would touch. Some you have to duck. Others you just walk through and you couldn't touch both sides or the top. And both ends met. It was an engineering marvel. Water is important. Water is important. We can drink our eight-ounce glasses of water and it helps our health. It does. Don't get me wrong, it really does. We can build our aqueducts and supply water to our cities, and we can grow our cities. We can build tunnels and deprive our enemies of water and have water for ourselves, but This is temporary. We will still thirst. How often the word thirst has been mentioned since we've been here. We will still thirst. Our land will still thirst. Our water source is temporary. Its value is temporary. It's limited. In the kingdom of men, the world needs water, and it thirsts. And it thirsts for more than just water. In the kingdom of God, that thirst is going to be removed. Turn over to John 4. I was concerned Mr. Boykin was going to visit a scripture I had in mind, but that's all right. We could use these over and over, don't we? John 4. John 4 and verse 6. It is a discussion, an interesting exchange at Jacob's well. And Jacob's well had very good water. Verse 6. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour, about noontime. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. So he's by himself. Samaritan woman comes up there. "Give me drink." Then the woman of Samaria said to him, and she had to be surprised, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Now, they're egoist. You know, you're beneath us. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Living water. The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself as well as his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. Whoever drank from the aqueducts of Rome thirsted again. Whoever drank water from the Hezekiah's tunnel thirsted again." Verse 14, "But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." The water around us is temporary. And as desperate as California needs this water, it's temporary. We had a drought back in 1976. Just as bad. Well, maybe not. Seems to be worse. Droughts come and go. Water comes and goes. It's temporary. But by drinking from the living water, it leads to eternal life. The world thirsts for water. It thirsts for physical life. Even more so, the world thirsts for purpose and reason and for understanding that it doesn't have. That's the water Jesus Christ is talking about. Let's turn over to Jeremiah 2. The great minds of this world today do not understand their purpose, do not understand why they were born, do not understand what you understand. I don't claim to be a great mind. I know myself. But the great minds want to understand what you have, want to understand what you've been given through water, through the washing of the word. But let's take a quick look at society today. Jeremiah 2, verse 13. Doesn't help to be in Jeremiah 3. This is society today. Jeremiah 2, verse 13. "For my people have committed two evils." These are two evils. There's evil in society. There really is. "They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewn themselves cisterns," broken cisterns that can no longer hold water, that hold no water. This is society today. God is that fountain of living water. Broken cisterns is a symbolic word for the way of life. It's broken. We have polluted air. We have polluted water. We have polluted food. We have polluted minds. This is where we are today in society. We are here worshiping God these days that represent this coming change. There's a change coming. This is a shadow of what tomorrow is going to be like. Mr. Nutzman called it Liberation Day, a rescue of the world. A rescue of the world. And this world needs water. Not like the tsunami that hit. All of you must have seen the videos of the tsunami that ripped through Japan and Samoa. It's an irresistible force that destroys everything in its path because water has power. Water is resilient. Water is unstoppable as a force. The devastation that comes to my mind is huge. As boats, cars, houses are being pushed along dry ground as that water came inland. We're not talking that kind of water. And yet God will use water to heal, and these days represent water. These days represent a difference in the water to come. There will be a physical healing and a spiritual healing. Turn over to Ezekiel. Ezekiel 47. An image of this day, of this time, is coming. Prophesied to be fulfilled. Ezekiel 47. Here's an image. As you look out at the ocean, as you go out to the ocean, think of the waters yet to come. Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east. For the front of the temple faced east. The water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. He brought me out by the way of the north gate and led me around the outside of the outer gateway that faces east. And there was water coming out on the right side. And when the man went out to the east with a line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the water. The water came up to my ankles. Water was flowing, and it was starting to pool. Then again, he measured 1,000 cubits and brought me through the waters. The water came up to my knees. There was more water coming out from the threshold of the temple. He measured 1,000 cubits and brought me through. The water came up to my waist. Again, he measured 1,000 cubits, and it was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep, water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. He said to me, "Son of man, have you seen this?" Then he brought me and returned me to the bank on the river. There's a flow of water coming out the threshold of the temple. And as it goes farther out, a miracle is taking place because it's getting deeper and bigger and wider as the farther it got from the temple. When I returned there, verse 7, along the bank of the river were very many trees on one side and the other. Then he said to me, This water flows toward the eastern region, goes down into the valley, and enters the sea. When it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. It'll be wonderful to think about the waters around Japan in Fukushima, the nuclear power station that is still pumping poison into the ocean, that it's going to be healed, that the animals around that nuclear power station are being damaged. It's going to be wonderful to think that the healing waters are going to take place around Monterey Bay, because we've poured so much effluent from major societies. It's going to be wonderful to think about all the healing that's going to take place, and all the animals are not going to be damaged. It says that the waters are healed, and it shall be that every living thing that moves wherever the river goes will live. There will be very great multitudes of fish because these waters go there, for they will be healed. Everything will live wherever the river goes. There is going to be a physical healing because of this water, because it's going to spread. And it shall be, verse 10, that fishermen will stand by it from the Engedi to the Eglium, They will be places for spreading their nets. Their fish will be of the same kinds of fish of the great sea, exceedingly many. How often our fishermen have to go farther out to sea looking for fish because they're overfished. But its swamps and marshes will not be healed. They will be given over to salt. The world needs salt. We have salt beds in the Bay Area where I come from, and they harvest salt. Along the bank of the river on this side and that will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither, and their fruit will not fall. They will bear fruit every month because their water flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food and their leaves for medicine. What an incredible vision this is. How awesome this is. This liberty that's going to take place, this rescue of the world is going to be started with water flowing out of the temple, healing waters. Pollution is going to be set aside. No more sick fish. And there's a domino effect, because as the water heals and as the vegetation is healing, it also cleans up our air. Our air becomes clean. Our water becomes clean. Our food sources become clean. That is so neat. But with a physical healing, there also has to be another change. We could heal the water, the air, the food, but you can't have the same mindset that created all the damage with all the newness and all the healing that takes place. There has to be a healing of the mind. There is also going to be a healing of the mind. Turn over to Joel 2. Because as these healing waters begin to heal the world and everything that it touches, there is also going to be a healing of the mind. If we were to have a discussion about man's mind today, there is none of us in here who would say, we're doing pretty good. We're doing pretty good. Joel 2, verse 28. Joel 2, verse 28. And it shall come to pass, this is yet to come, but we're living in the shadow at the moment. It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. There's going to be a change of mind. God is going to heal the physical world around us. He's also going to change our minds so that we have access to God's mind. I was going to have an example of water pouring, because water is insidious. It will always find some way to get around whatever barrier you have. I chose not to bring water for a reason. Just before the feast, we went to the grocery store. I had a jug of lemonade. I like lemonade. And I put it down in the back of my car, and it burst. And water, or this nice little lemonade, went everywhere. On the seat, in the seat, under the crevices, all the way into the bottom of the car. Everywhere. Everywhere. So I chose not to have an example up here. It took about an hour with a detailer to get that cleaned up. Water fills every spot. Water from the temple, as rivers of living water flow, it heals the nations. God will pour out his spirit on mankind. Mankind will finally begin to understand that which has driven this incredible thirst. The great minds want to know you what you know. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 2. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 2. How often I go here, because this gives me an understanding of where I am with comparison to the rest of the world. And it's not my doing. It's through God's grace, through his mercy. There's going to be a mind change. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. This world doesn't understand. The great minds don't understand. They come up with with programs and ideas that just don't work because they are not God-based. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages of our glory. It's hidden because the world doesn't know. It's not their fault. They don't know. Which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. It doesn't matter how smart you are. It doesn't matter how brilliant you are. You don't know. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit that he's going to pour out on the world, on everyone, the Spirit is going to reach everyone. The Spirit knows the things. The Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man in him? We have intellect. We have consciousness. That's the spirit of man. But we're not complete. We're not done. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. How wonderful these days picture the events yet to come. A healing of the world and a healing of the mind. That's exciting. That's exciting. But I have another question. I like to always have some sort of application. How does this apply to you and I sitting here? Yes, it's a wonderful vision. Yes, it is something that we should walk away with. We should see the world around us through the prism of what is yet to come. But how do we apply this? I do so like biblical application. There is a theme that is going to be in many messages that have been given to us and yet be given to us yet to come. Turn over to John 7, please. John 7. John 7, verse 37. I know this is just a few days in advance of when this was talking about. Verse 37, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Mr. Boykin talked about having a thirst for the truth, to have that drive and thirst that you have to absorb. You need water every day. You need God's word every day. You need to be washed by the word every day. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. When you've been given God's Spirit, you then, everyone you deal with, will see rivers of living water. If you show it. If you show it. When we believe God's Spirit will flow, when we believe God, when we believe in him, when we believe and receive his mercy, his grace, we have a change of mind. We have God's Spirit. God's Spirit will then flow from our heart, from the center of our being. And then we become examples to everyone in this room. We become examples to everyone at the hotel. We become examples to everyone at the restaurants and such like that. Because then as the water, you might consider us, oh, this will be bad. We're drips of the water yet to come. I don't mean to call us drips, but it just came to my mind that the water is starting to flow because we have God's Spirit and we are sharing God's Spirit today. We are examples of the world tomorrow today. We are examples of what will be today. We are example that God's way works today. Think on this. See what the vision of what is to come. The world needs healing. At the return of Jesus Christ, the healing waters will flow from the temple. Man's world will be healed from its constant mismanagement. God will pour out his Spirit on all men. And they will begin to understand the truth. They will understand their purpose. They will begin to understand spiritual things, which they cannot do today. We then will be able to converse using the same language. I had a conversation with someone who didn't understand God's word, and we were talking about Sabbath. Sabbath to him was Sunday. Sabbath to me is Sabbath. We were using the same word, but we were using different languages, different understanding. There's going to be a time when God's Spirit is going to be on everyone, and we will speak the same language, and we will understand together. Man will have the ability then to have that relationship with God that you're enjoying today. We, having God's Spirit, will be the examples that God's way works, that there is a love of God, a mercy in God. Then we have that toward one another. Mr. Salcedo talked about singing. I'm going to close. Go to Isaiah 12, please. Isaiah 12. Because there is a song that we will sing, a hymn of praise. Isaiah 12. And in that day, you will say, O Lord, I will praise you. Though you were angry with me, your anger is turned away, and now you comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for Yah, the Lord, is my strength and song, and he also has become my salvation. Therefore, my joy, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. That's what we're doing here. That's what we do every day. We draw water from the wells of salvation. We're here to change. Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his deeds among the peoples. Make mention that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, O inhabitants of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst. I do want to go to one other scripture, Zechariah 14. I didn't lie, I just misspoke. Zechariah 14. Here we are at the Feast of Tabernacles. Let us draw near to God. Let us draw water from that well of salvation. Let us rejoice for the events yet to come and for the events yet that we are experiencing right now. Zechariah 14, verse 8. And in that day it shall be that living waters shall flow from Jerusalem. Half of them toward the eastern sea, the other half toward the western sea. In both summer and winter it shall occur. This water isn't going to stop. It's not going to stop because of drought. It's not going to stop because it's frozen. It's going to be continuous. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day it shall be, the Lord is one, and his name is one. We are here, bound by God's Spirit, and we are one together. We are family. This is the family of God. This is the body of Christ. We are one. Let us think on the visions of what is yet to come, that the world will have healing water, that God's Spirit will heal the mind, and that we are here as examples of God's Spirit together. Have a great feast.